Okay.
Great, thank you. Can everyone hear me okay, hopefully?
Yes.
Okay, welcome. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, April 12th, 2024, called to order at 12:01 p.m. And could we have roll call, please, Carla?
Yes. Alice Sundagi? Andrew Christopher? Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Jeffrey Elwa?
Present.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
Jan Mulder? J.K. Lamb?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Julia Date? Ken Scoville?
Here.
Kathy Kubish?
Here.
Peter Steer? Ricky Riojas?
Here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Stephen Grady? Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Hagyard?
Here.
And Carla, Julia is here. So you want to call her again?
Julia Date? You're on mute, Julia.
You're on mute, hon.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's watch for Steve Grady and then for Alice to come in later. All right, thank you. So we've got just 12. Okay, item two is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 3/13/24. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
This is Jeff Elwand here. I move that we approve as submitted.
Thank you. And who will second?
This is Ricky. I'll second.
Thank you. And Ricky seconds. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, let's go ahead and call roll on that, please.
Okay. Carlo Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwa?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Julia Date?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady? Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
And Stephen Grady?
I don't think he's on yet.
Okay, so we have 12-0.
Great, thank you very much. Item three is chairperson's summary of current events. I just want to mention that JJ has to leave at 1:30. Is that correct, JJ? And we and Alice Sundagi will be arriving hopefully around 12:30. So we have to. We have a good chance of losing the quorum if we go too long. So let's try to be as succinct as we can be, but we should be fine. So I don't have anything else. If I think of something later, I'll mention it. So item four is recently posted subcommittee minutes. You can go to that link to see the LARs that are submitted when let's say that you have a meeting for that has an LAR, then at the next meeting of that subcommittee, you vote on that LAR, and then that becomes minutes, and those are eventually posted. But they're fairly the same as the LAR. So if you have any questions about that, let me know. We've had a lot of meetings lately, so there's a few days in delay usually in getting those posted. Item five is removal appointments to commission subcommittees and so on, and I don't have any at this time. Item 6 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. And we'll start with 6A, which is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. And Jody is here. You ready for us, Jody? Carla, you're on mute.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. There
Sorry,
you go.
You couldn't see my lips moving from the table. Good afternoon, everybody. I only have two items to report. One, that Barrio San Antonio was listed on the National Register. And the other one is the Rincon Heights Pie Allen Neighborhood Preservation Zone, NPZ, is moving forward. It was recommended for approval by the zoning examiner. We do not have a date yet set for mayor and council. We're waiting for the appointment of a new Ward 6 council member. And that's all I have to report.
Jody, I'm sorry, what was that? You're waiting on the sixth person to get appointed? What are you waiting on for mayor and council? I'm sorry.
It's not moving to mayor and council just yet until a new council member for Ward 6 is appointed. Steve Kozacek resigned. His last day was March 31st. Right. So they're in the process of taking applications and going to appoint somebody new. And so we're waiting until that new person is appointed to take the NPZ to mayor and council.
It's the NPZ. Sorry, I was distracted because Carla and Rick, Steve Grady joined at 12:07. Thank you, Steve. Great. All right. Item 6B is Pima County Cultural Resources. Courtney, Ian, Carrie, Scott, who's ever. Yes.
Carlos has a question.
Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah. Hi, Jody. I'm wondering a question for either Jody or anyone present from housing. Does anyone have an update on what's going on with the no-tell motel sign, the De Anza motel sign in the Miracle Mile Historic District on Oracle?
The no-tell motel sign, we are working with the State Historic Preservation Office. For the time being, it is staying in place. It will not be removed for the time being while we work out what's going on with it.
Okay, thanks, Jody.
Great. Anyone else with a question for Jody? Okay. So you said until they worked out with SHPO what's going on or whatever?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, Ken?
Yes, real quick, I'll follow up on the no-tell motel. I received a letter that I guess there's a 106 kind of issue going on with it.
Correct, and that's what we're working with SHPO.
Okay, well, I think everybody on the commission ought to know about this. I mean, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and we're still in the nascent stages of working with the SHPO office on it, so I can provide updates as we move along.
Okay, well, it'd be good if we got an update before the next meeting.
I will try to do that.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. And Jody can send it to Carla, who can forward it on. Okay. Any other questions? Great. Thank you. Okay. Now let's move on to item 6B, Pima County. Update, please.
Hi. Good afternoon, commissioners. Ian Milliken reporting this time. So just a quick three things. First is the St. Michael's nomination, St. Michael's Episcopal Church nomination that went through PRS and then went to HSRC. That is in pending status with the National Park Service. We expect to hear in the next 2 weeks. We're excited about that. That's our first nomination that the county undertook of our priority cultural resources. So we're excited. And then the second one I wanted to announce is that we've determined that Los Morteros is going to be our next candidate for the next year to pursue a National Register nomination on that. And so we'll keep you posted through that process. The Juan Santa Cruz Picnic Area is another project you're familiar with, went through plans review. We reached the maximum of our funding for this year, but we were awarded an amendment to our Heritage Fund grant. Nice. And so we look at finishing that project over the next couple of months by the end of the summer, and we'll do a little presentation of the before and afters once that's done for the commission. And then lastly, SunZia, we continue to be involved and monitor that. We are not litigants in that recent lawsuit by Archaeology Southwest and Center for Biological Diversity. However, one very important thing happened this past week that the Arizona Corporation Commission determined that the SunZia, that Pattern, the proprietor of SunZia, is in violation of one of the CEC clauses, the Certificate for Environmental Compatibility, with regards to the requirement that a cultural landscape study have been conducted by Pattern and BLM. BLM is contesting that they did identify traditional cultural properties, but traditional cultural landscapes are a little bit different and different under federal. And so that will be interesting to see how it plays out. Again, Pima County has not taken a formal position in the litigation. We continue to monitor it, and we support obviously the due process under Section 106 and continue to provide comments as a consulting party of that project. That's all I got. There are other items on the agenda. I didn't figure this is the appropriate place to talk about them, so.
Great. Okay. Any questions for Ian? Okay, perfect. Thank you. Item 6C is City of South Tucson. Is Joshua here? I don't think so, so there's no report. Item 6D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. Jorge Castillo?
Yes, Jorge? Yes, thank you. So I have two quick items to talk about today. They're basically two events that will be taking place this week. Proposition 411 Better Streets Program, there'll be a neighborhood celebration in the Garden District. That's on tomorrow, 4:30 to 5:30 at a Mediterranean restaurant off of Belvedere. And then finally getting to the Grant Road construction project. So there's a pre-construction open house on Saturday, April 13th from 11 to 12:30. And after this meeting, we'll send you details with links to those two events. The last thing I have is that we're still waiting to hear a confirmation from Transit on the presentation to this commission regarding the project on the Norte segment of the Norte-Sud bus rapid corridor. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Jorge. Any questions for Jorge? Okay.
I do have a question. Sorry.
Go ahead, Ricky.
My question is just about, do you know when the City of South Tucson is having any meetings about the Sur part of the Norte Sur and the part that is maybe going to go through the City of South Tucson?
I haven't heard. I know there was an initial meeting with council that I mentioned at a previous meeting, but I'll see what I can find out. But I think it's I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And Ricky, Carlos, couldn't you also check with Joshua if it's South Tucson?
Yep, I'm doing that Friday.
Okay, so bring up Ricky's question too, and then also if Jorge bombards him with a question, that'd be good.
Sure.
All right, thank you. All right, move on to item 7, Commission Subcommittee, Other Committee, Council, Commission Status Reports. We'll start with item 7A, which is Plans Review. And Jody, you go first, and then I have something.
We will have a meeting tomorrow. Whether or not we have a quorum, that is a little bit questionable, but if we have a quorum, we expect to hear a courtesy review for the Fort Lowell Commissary, and we will have a review for the Amazon Botel, which is an HCD project, and we have a project from one of the advisory boards, a smaller project. If we do not have a quorum, then the two items that we have a quorum issue will, they will trail to the 25th, which is the next available meeting.
Okay. All right. And I wanted to report that I had a letter from, I actually had two letters from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, and one is provided in your packet under item for related to item 9. But the one that's relevant to plans review, and I didn't include it because I'm still working on a response, the foundation had some issues with PRS recommendations on several cases, and I'm working on a response on those now. So, and one was the no-tell motel sign, and I knew that that was under discussion. I saw some emails, people that had met with the city on that, and then from what Jody said, that's in process. And so SHPO was copied on the foundation's letter, so they're aware of the various concerns that the foundation has. Okay, item 7B, or any questions on plans review? Okay. If not, item 7B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard?
They did not have a meeting this month. The next meeting will be May 6th.
Okay. Okay, hold on. NARC didn't meet. Next meeting, I'm sorry,
May 6th, but let me just confirm that real quick. But
it's usually a Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why.
Yeah, I'm just it's May 6th, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, May 6th. Thank you. Okay, Commissioner, let's see, 7D, no, 7C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady? Helen, do you want a report? He must be having trouble getting off mute. Helen?
Yes, I don't actually have this in front of me, which is unfortunate. But we did meet and provided a courtesy review. That was our largest undertaking for a project proposed by Corky Poster and his group. And all of our courtesy review information is actually in the LAR. So I think otherwise we don't have anything startling to report.
Okay, thank you. Item 7D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks. So a couple of my items are elsewhere in the agenda. Some of the audio is really quiet. Can you guys hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, great. So let's see. Let me go. Let me mention regarding Pima County transit-oriented development, I wanted to thank Courtney for helping us to include a historic preservation recommendation to the zoning ordinance amendment. And and then let's see, Rio Nuevo, I was hoping for a Sunshine Mile Historic District update from Jen Levstick. She's not present today. I'll move on. Let's see, so the ADOT 5-year plan, okay, last year TPCHC submitted our standard best practice recommendation for the tentative non-specific plan. Now they've finalized their plan and they're soliciting more comments. So I'm gonna review the plan with historic landscapes for any potential impacts in Pima County. Noting that also the tribes are usually way ahead of us on this, and so we don't really have to worry too much about that. But we do need to submit a comment soon, so I'd like to make a motion that TPCHC submit our standard preservation best practices recommendations for the ADOT 5-year plan.
So you move that. Who will second that motion?
This is JJ. I'll second.
Okay, I've got JJ. Is there further discussion on that? Okay, if not, let's go ahead and call roll, please, Carla.
Okay. Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwood? Helen Erickson?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julia Date?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady? Harry Bajewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagar?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwan?
Jeff, you're on mute.
Aye.
Great.
Aye.
Stephen Grady? I didn't hear Stephen.
No, do we still have 12?
Yes.
Okay, I would just say that he didn't respond.
Okay.
We've got 12.
Yes. Alton Darrow.
He must be having some issue with his unmuting or something. Anyway, all right. Anything else, Carlos?
No, thanks. That's all I have.
Okay, and you'll get me your response? I mean, your for the 5-year plan?
Yep, thank you, yeah.
Okay, great, we'll get that in. What's the deadline on that?
Sometime in May.
Okay, so we have a little time. Okay, yep. Thank you. Item 7E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald?
Yes, I'm going to report on the last two meetings. In March, the commission went over kind of what they had established in terms of updating their mission goals and next steps as a result of their recent retreat. And then they went over kind of a overview from HCD with regard to the PCHIP program, which is the People, Communities, and Homes Investment Plan, as well as the Prosperity Initiative. And kind of an overview of that. And then at this month's meeting, they talked about those two things in terms of how the commission could be involved, how they could help drive or identify policies or early stages of implementation of our, of both the Prosperity Initiative and involvement in PCHIP. So that's basically it. One of their next big steps is to push forward a bond initiative for housing with the city and the county, trying to get a meeting set up for that. So that's what's going on at the commission.
Great. Thank you, Savannah. Any questions for Savannah? I'm looking and I don't see any hands. I don't see anyone waving from the table. Okay. Thank you very much for that. Item 7F is the budget subcommittee. I've been in touch with Carla, and the two people working on the budget in the office and I will be working closely because we have some things that we need, payments that we need to get out soon for events that are coming up and so forth. So that's underway. And Ricky, I'm not sure if you were on last time, but we appointed a third member, Helen, it's you, Helen, right, to the subcommittee, so that next time we meet, we still only need two for a quorum, but just in case one of you can't attend when we need to meet. Okay.
Can I ask you a quick question on budget?
Sure.
So the county has about $7,000+ that's allocated for the commission for this year. Mm-hmm. I assume that will begin to get invoiced through the city to us for the upcoming events?
Right, yeah, and we have a plan to expend our funds okay. for this year, and hopefully have you budgeted again for next year for us, hopefully,
correct.
Next fiscal?
Yes.
Yeah, and that might be good if you let the folks know. You could email Carla, or she could let you know who to let know about that, so that then the city will feel pressured to do the same.
Perfect.
Or just reminded to do the same. That would be great. Yeah, okay. It's been a little bit hard getting off the dime because of just getting started again on the process, you know. But we're rapidly planning events. So
awesome.
Thank you. Let's see. Okay, any other questions? Okay, item 7G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee. We have Commissioners Elwand and Lamb.
Well, hi, this is JJ. I just wanted to share that we have 39 individuals registered for the camp training, which is pretty exciting. And I will send out a reminder in the morning with the link, so it won't be buried in your emails. And I would just encourage everyone, as much as is possible with everyone's schedules, to attend the camp trainings in person so that you can participate in the discussion. But when you are unable to attend in person, they will be available for 60 days to those registered. And then, you know, the other thing that is that for architects and planners, there are, Terry, what's the word I want? There are
continuing education credits.
Thank you. That's it. Continuing education credits. So you'll want to be sure and get registered for that. Hey.
And Joel had a question. Joel? You're on mute. Still on mute. There you go. Nope. Still back. No, you're back on mute. There you go.
I have a little confusion about the start time. There is scheduled for tomorrow night, and what it said 6 to 8:45, but Pacific time. So is that the same as us?
Yes, we're the same as Pacific right now.
Okay. And where is the meeting? Where do we go?
It's virtual.
It's virtual. So there's a link.
It's in person. Okay.
No.
There's a link, and tomorrow I will resend out the link, so it'll be towards the top of your emails, not buried.
And it starts at 6 Tucson time.
Tucson time.
Yeah. And remember that each of the, so then there's another session on Saturday, but tomorrow evening there's two separate topics then will be discussed on the Saturday, and that this is mandatory training for commissioners. And even if you watch on, you know, later, listen to the recording, they obviously have some way of determining that, and you will get a confirmation that you did finish the training.
Yes, they are tracking it for us.
Right. And what's exciting is that we have lots of staff attending as well. And thank you for being so quick to respond. County and city staff. And we might also have, hopefully from South Tucson, we'll have Joshua and someone else in his office, which is really good for them. So we have a question. Let's see, Ken. Ken, you're on mute.
Is this just for Tucson people?
No, it's Tucson, county, and staff. Commissioners and staff, also advisory board members were invited. We have quite a few of those as well. So it's very exciting. And so, Ian, just for your information, and Jody knows this, I'm sure, is that this is one of our budgeted items, this training. And so, you know, we're excited and grateful to have that funding to be able to provide the training. So
it's great.
So, but thanks for the staff response and interest in this. Joel, did you have another question, or did you just not put your hand down? You're on mute. I think he's good. You good?
No question. I'm just trying. I don't know how to get my hand down. Sorry.
I'll get it down. I'll take it down for you.
Thank you.
All right. Got it. All right. No one else? Great. Anything else from the outreach and training?
No, I know that we're all very excited that, you know, this really, this training launches, you know, really a re-entry for the commission in being able to fulfill a lot of our responsibilities as a commission, you know, after the pandemic. So I know personally I'm really looking forward to this. And again, echoing what Terry said, very happy with the response.
Mm-hmm. And again, these topics were ones that were chosen when you were all asked some months ago to rank your choices for different topics, right? So, correct. Okay, Carlos, you had a question.
Yeah, there's another training happening at the Arizona Preservation Conference, and I did. Were we supposed to get an email about that, or did I miss that?
You know, there will be more emails coming out shortly, and Ian, chime in that, the email reminders and those kinds of things have been a little slow in getting out.
But I was talking about the CLG training at the Preservation Conference.
That's what she's talking about. So Ian mentioned it at the last meeting. And I need to put that on the agenda, but it's related to this. For next month, I'll put it on. Part of the problem is that I think they're having trouble with their web design or something in the background because they have basically that early bird registration is closed and it hasn't. Ian alerted us last time that if commissioners from either the city or county, that there are funds for commissioners to attend the conference if they commit to taking the training, which will be, you know, a different type of training. You know, it won't be on these specific topics, I'm sure.
Correct. And that option to register is open now, but since it's no cost to you, there's no urgency to do it. The advice that's given right now is that, yes, they are having troubles with their website. You can go ahead and register, and instead of doing a credit card, you just choose check. And so what that will and then you send a follow-up email when you get your confirmation saying, I'm a commissioner for the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission, and they'll mark you down as not having to send the check.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ian.
If you know others who are not on the commission and who aren't going to take the CLG training, maybe the early bird registration is going to be extended through the end of April.
Yeah, but they do recommend that if people are going that you make your hotel reservation sooner than later because there aren't as many options in Prescott as there are elsewhere.
Hacienda is almost full, which is the conference hotel.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Thank you, JJ, and we hope to see many of you online for the training tomorrow night and on Saturday.
Oh, I had my hand up. This is Ricky. Mine was okay. Are we supposed to be getting a confirmation email for that CLG training? Because I emailed them 3 times, and the only thing they told me was, yes, we do have scholarships.
What do you mean for the preservation conference?
Yeah.
They're just behind. They're behind on everything. So just sit tight, and like you and I were texting, they're extending that deadline. You know, if people still haven't heard in a week or so, you know, I don't know, Ian, maybe you could ask or somebody.
Yeah, I'm on the planning committee, and we meet weekly. So I know they're working out the kinks. As soon as it's live and worked out, I will alert Carla and Terry, who can disseminate to everyone.
That would be great because it's just really, it seems, and I know a lot of sponsors are frustrated because they want to sponsor and no one will contact them. And apparently Jim McPherson from Arizona Preservation Foundation is, so it's, I'm just sitting tight, waiting.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, I will keep everyone updated as soon as things start going live.
Great. Thank you. Helen, you're on mute.
Okay, got it off. I just wanted to say that part of this problem right now is if you are one of the people who registered and you don't get a confirmation,
don't worry about it because they will get around to that. I called Connie Gutierrez, who's actually the person responsible for this, and she said she would be checking into it, but basically don't expect a confirmation at this time.
For a bit. It'll be a bit.
Yeah.
That's weird that it's not automatic like it used to be, right? Anyway. Okay, if there are no other questions, let's see. Item 7H is Preservation Award Subcommittee. I bulleted the key information, so you can go back to it. The ceremony will be at San Pedro Chapel from 2 to 4. It's a Sunday, May 19th. The call for information, nominations information, was in the agenda packet. And also the link to nomination form, but I emailed all of you with the same information, right? And nominations close next Monday, but you can do this. The more time we give you, the less you get done. So, Ian, this is, and Jody, this is another thing that is supported by the city and county, and we're excited, and we have a good subcommittee working on this. We already have our one nomination. We have many others coming in, and it's a good event. So if you have questions, please don't hesitate to email me. Okay, thank you on that. Any questions? All right, did Alice join us, Carla? No.
No.
Okay. All right, item 8 is...
Yes, I joined. I joined at 12:33.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
12:33, thank you for getting on. Here, let me write that down. Alice at 12:33. Thank you. All right. Item 8 is Arizona State Museum Archaeological Repository closure, and this was a late addition to your agenda. And it's sort of strange because a letter came in one day and then another letter came in the next day, but we'll let Ian tell you about it.
Well, thank you. So we received a letter on April 8th from the Arizona State Museum that you've all seen now, very abruptly announcing closure of the Arizona State Museum's repository. For those of you who don't know, Arizona's been in a curation crisis for a while now, with an unfunded kind of mandate to the Arizona State Museum. It's very unfortunate that the space that they're allocated has been filling up faster than they can find and fund new space. So we knew that the problem was there, but we didn't know that, A, they had the ability to close the repository, and B, that they would just abruptly do it without any kind of warning going out to constituencies. Now, where this really is important for you guys is that Pima County, when the Arizona State Museum reviewed its rates and went through a public process to increase its rates, the law that was created to allow them to do that public process specifically has in it, ABOR shall provide space for the Arizona State Museum's repository. Pima County, during that whole rates and fees, because we were concerned with the cost that curation was going to take with this new rates and fees, we did a statewide inventory of all repositories to see if there are any alternatives. All repositories that meet federal standards in the state of Arizona would not take Pima County collections because geographically they are really locked down to an immediate proximity of where the repository is located. So Pima County had no alternative, and we had to go with the Arizona State Museum, who under the law must collect collections originating from state, county, and municipal lands. So when we got this letter, we were very concerned because we have millions of dollars of projects in the pipeline that require permits and repository agreements. And that puts those projects in jeopardy because we can't meet state law and we can't meet the National Historic Preservation Act. So Pima County, immediately reached out and coordinated with the State Historic Preservation Office. I reached out to the U of A. I reached out to Commissioner Steer. I reached out to Pascal Yaki, Hopi, and others, all prompting a very kind of hectic day that day to try to figure out what we were going to do. So in processing all of that information, we came in the next day ready to send this letter out, and before we could do it, we get the next letter that you see that completely retracts everything and says that the Vice President of Research, who oversees the Arizona State Museum at the U of A, provided support. Now, we interpreted support as money, and I'm not sure how the money fixed the space issue, but let alone, we are outside of that crisis now in terms of the immediate need of finding a new repository. The repository remain open. But it's something that this commission should really maybe start looking at is this is a curation crisis that's not going away. I'm not sure what the long-term solution is. I know that they can't close the repository. I mean, our Pima County attorneys looked at it, even if they wanted to. Because of the fact that under the law, they are mandated to be the repository for county, state, and municipal lands. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with the rate fees going up to their 100%. So I'm going to give you a quick orientation that when, before the new rate structure was proposed, we had two major projects that resulted in curation fees totaling about $375,000 under the old rate structure. That was around $1,000 a box. When ABOR allowed them to implement this new ludicrous rate structure, they did it incrementally over the course of 5 years. We're now at the end of that five-year horizon. So that same curation cost at the 50% margin would have been an increase from $375,000 to $562,000. Under the new fees at the 100% that go in July 1st, those two projects would cost $1.1 million to curate. We have at least three federal projects in the pipeline that are looking at curation budgets of over $1 million of public taxpayer funds going into funding curation of these collections. And while we absolutely stand by the need for curation, we now need a statewide discussion and a local discussion about whether curation and the rules that govern curation need to be revisited because of the cost implications of it. And so this is going to be an ongoing discussion. It's going to be at the Historic Preservation Conference. It's going to be involved with the governor's office and with our county administrator to see what we can do. So I just wanted to put that on your radar. There's really nothing for the commission to do at this point. At first, I was hoping that the commission would write a letter of concern against the Arizona State Museum for closing the repository, but that's not needed now. But as this conversation continues, I will be glad to bring information back to the commission.
Thanks, Ian. What I find is interesting is that I think fewer and fewer federal agencies are continuing to curate their materials there.
Correct. And it's disincentivizing local governments, as there is no police force, for saying, well, if curation costs that much, we're not even going to do it. And Arizona State Museum, for the first time in its history last year, began refusing collections originating from private lands. So no longer will they accept collections originating from private lands. And we just have an active project for the city of Tucson right now that we're managing for the Silver Bell Road, where a major ancestral site containing over 100 documented funerary remains resulted in a collection that is so substantial that we got a deed of gift, and now the Arizona State Museum will not take them. And so they are left completely at the discretion of that private landholder.
Well, I think we definitely need to discuss it. I'd like to talk to you offline, Ian, because I'm sure. Part of a group called the Archaeological Collections Consortium, which is SHA, ACRA and SAA people have, and then there's some federal involvement, and we work on a lot of different projects. We published a couple books on the latest, and we just published one on digital curation, which is kind of interesting. I'd like to talk to you about it because that's a topic that, I mean, you could come and bring up and see if people have ideas, you know, at one of our next meetings.
Yep.
And people on the ACC they're involved on those committees on those different organizations. So it gets a big reach, you know, and it's kind of a cool thing. So,
and
okay.
One last interesting piece of information. When we did the study of looking at other repositories, we also internally found that over 50% of the collections stored at the Arizona State Museum originate with Pima County and Pima County projects.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, presumably you thought that maybe what support meant from the research vice president was funding to rent space off campus, right?
I believe that's where we're at right now.
That has to be it.
There is a further conversations going on right now. I have a phone call into the vice president of research and their staff to get a little bit more clarification as we Pima County and even the city of Tucson are really, it's going to affect us most just because we have no alternative repository.
Yeah, it's not good. Ricky?
My question is just if it's part of the conversation at all on your guys' level right now to see if maybe there's any way to, like, modify laws or something like that so that you guys have another option to not go with ASM in the future, or is your main concern right now just figuring out how to get ASM to accept what you have and the products you're working on?
Yeah, so it no longer do we have to worry about them accepting. They still have to accept under the current law. We don't want to change the law because ASM is required to be the repository for the state. What we lost in terms of contesting was this fee structure that's going to disincentivize curation in the future. Pima County, we're going to have to pay the fees, and we've acknowledged and we're going to work to pay the fees because we believe in curation and we believe in the treatment and disposition of ancestral remains and historical objects and all that goes with it. We do believe that we should be engaged in a discussion to create a more kind of 21st century discussion on curation. As even tribes have come back to us and said, you know, do we really need shelves of plain wares from all sorts of ancestral sites? I mean, that's a conversation that can be had. So, but no, I don't want to change the laws right now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that good discussion, Ian.
Yeah.
And you'll keep an eye on this. And if you need me to keep this on the agenda, just let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, item 9 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. And we're going to have Commissioner Scoville talk about this. But so this was the subject of that letter from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. I emailed Mr. Klinko back, the executive director, told him that it was already an item on this agenda. And as you know, Commissioner Scoville has been bringing up some of these properties for a long, long time. So, Ken, go ahead.
Okay, and again, I'd like to read a little bit of that handout from the Preservation Foundation. And this says, as outlined in Section 5.8.11, Maintenance Section D of the UDC, it is imperative that the Commission takes proactive measures when there's a reason to believe that a property is being neglected and is at risk of damage from weather or vandalism. The section mandates that the commission advise city staff in such instances, engage with property owners to discuss improvements and provide assistance, particularly to those facing economic hardship, in obtaining financial resources for necessary maintenance and repairs. And then it goes into much more detail. I think this becomes even more of a concern, not that that isn't a concern, when these are city-owned buildings. And there's just a multitude of issues with city-owned historic properties and obvious neglect. And it's always about money, but it's also about not getting the experts that are needed to evaluate a property. And just want to sort of reference the Tucson Museum of Art Historic Block, which I've probably, I guess, adopted for the last 35 years. And we've had a multitude of different directors with different levels of interest about the historic buildings on the property. And I've always said that it's, at best, it's a bad marriage. Just, and I'm very knowledgeable of what's happened during urban renewal, and it was a real struggle to save what's still there. That the city said, all right, you're going to get them for the city-owned properties, but approximately you get them for a dollar a year, they may have bumped it up a couple of dollars. But you have to restore them and maintain them. And obviously, people that run an art museum, some people are interested in historic preservation, but a lot are not. So these buildings have had a checkered history. And just read you one headline, and this is from 2016. Tucson Museum of Arts needs $500,000 to fix crumbling buildings. And there are still ongoing problems, and the former director, and having gone through a million directors over there, he left easily $750,000 of repairs for the historic buildings. The new director, and I can't remember her last name, but Nora, and I was over there just recently, Bob Vint and Eric Means are doing a wonderful restoration of the Casa Cordova, and I think it's close to $250,000 just on that building. And that building was just, and again, I will give a little deference to Jeremy, but he essentially locked the Casa Cordova up and used it for storage too much of the time. Didn't even get it to Venice. So it's turned into a big mess. So monitoring, and then Jeremy also power washed the Fish and Stevens housing, which is the last thing in the world you should do. So I just want to give you an example of what we need to be doing is that coming up with a formal schedule first, a list of all the historic properties owned by the city. When are we going to have an inspection and maintenance procedure where it's once a year, once 5 years, or if there's some obvious issues going on with the building, so that we always don't get into the disaster situation and then spending so much more money than would have ever been needed. And I think the Atkins property, another city-owned property, is another example of that. I just recently started giving a heads up about the roof and whether there was ponding or whatever, but I went in with Durazzo and Bob Vint. The building's an absolute disaster. There are so many roof leaks and things going on, but I don't know. It's going to take a lot of money to put that one back together. So this needs to be structured and organized, and obviously I'm going to ask Jody and if the county's involved with their historic buildings, that we need to identify all of them, look at working out a schedule of when they're going to be evaluated, prioritize which ones are the most necessary to be addressed at the moment. Are there other funding sources? Obviously, go back to the Museum of Art. They are responsible for those buildings. Sometimes they drag their feet and whatever, but the current director, and she said this is a major mission for her to get all the buildings put back together. So, and they've done great fundraising so far, but the city-owned properties all throughout here, there are such different levels. So I just am asking Jody and also the county to have a list of all of them, all our identified properties, working out a timeline, have they been inspected or not. I just recently, the first of the year, gone out to the Magnetic Observatory at Udall Park, which is another building that sort of advocated preservation probably 30 years ago, 25 years ago. And they haven't been inspected on the inside for 20 years. We went out there today, on the first part of the year, did a visual outside. There are some cracks, but they look reasonably good shape. But they need to be inspected. And we don't need to get somebody, not against city staff, but somebody that's a maintenance person to go in and evaluate a 125-year-old adobe building. You need an expert like Bob Vint, who's the preservation architect for the mission, if you don't know. So this is what I'm asking for today, is to get organized, working out a plan. I'll be happy to work with this, and then funding situations and all these other things. But we actually have got to get structured and take care of these buildings.
Mm-hmm. Ken, you know that I did send you that list of city and county-owned buildings that was compiled a couple years ago when we did the inclusivity study, the task force, and you have that list. And I could send that to the city and county and ask them to update it as needed. And then, Helen, I'm wondering why this can't be part of Plan Tucson and Pima Prospers. You're on mute, Helen.
There. Okay. I think that is a point. We have, I'll mention in a few minutes, we have another meeting coming up, and we can definitely add that to the policies that we're talking about. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I can send to Helen. I can send to Helen as well, Ken.
And I would like any updated list in case we're missing something or whatever that everybody goes through and thanks. I'm hoping that's the essential list. But what we have to do is develop a culture that we actually keep on track with the historic buildings owned by the city and the county.
Well, you really need a maintenance plan and a regular inspection thing. And I've worked on those with Bob Vent for the Empire Ranch, for example, and other historic buildings. So this is well known for any important federally owned building. So it's not that much of a stretch for the city and county. But, and, you know, this could also be something that was funded by the Historic Preservation Fund, and let, you know, it's not as sexy as doing a new nomination or this and that, but it's needed, or we will be doing an assessment of the rubble of the buildings instead.
And Atkins is the perfect example of just demolition by neglect, and it shouldn't be this way.
Yeah, and Ken, we'll keep this item on the agenda.
Yes,
and so I will send the list to the city, county, and Helen for the Plan Tucson. And Courtney, I don't know if you're on, do you think that this is something that Pima Prospers could think about, or do you don't think it falls under that rubric?
It might. There is a chapter that covers the physical environment and buildings, and we don't have let you know now that we don't have a substantial update on Pima Prospers because those chapters have not been drafted yet and we don't have a full outline, but there is a section that addresses physical buildings. And as we know, and we talked about before, cultural resources falls under all the topics in Pima Prospers. So we could probably put it in there. And I can, speak with Commissioner Lamb also on.
Yes, on that. I was going to just mention JJ. Mm-hmm. And what I might do, Carla, is just send you this list that you can then forward to everyone on the commission. So if they're curious, it's a big spreadsheet.
And Courtney, if you can hear me, I think a good example of the county is the Murphy Sales Office building. And then what the current owners wanted to expand it and turn it into a bank. And they certainly started a very negative direction. Things got straightened out pretty well. Still a few issues and getting a few things to make sure things were done on the inside. But that's just a perfect example. If we had a culture and identified and somebody monitoring these things, not every day, but just being aware of things, then we would have got ahead of it.
Yeah, so Ken, but one thing to consider on the county is we have far less zoned historic assets than the city does. And so it's hard to regulate things that are not in a zone that are outside of county ownership.
Right. And but I think there's always a way for a city government or a county government to advocate for things that may be on the National Register. And the owner, especially if it's a higher profile owner, hopefully would want to do the right thing.
Absolutely. We can definitely commit to that, and we do that, and we can memorialize that in Pima Prosper. It's just, you know, we can lay as many carrots out as we want, but we don't really have a stick unless it's zoned historic for privately owned historical buildings and structures.
Right. But yeah, and that's a good point. But there's always advocacy.
Sure. And we continue to do that education, and we will continue to look to you and the commission as a whole to provide us guidance in updating that education as we move forward. So
I will try as long as I'm around.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. I hope that you're around for a while, Ken, so don't go anywhere.
Well, that depends what you ask. So thanks.
All right, so thank you for that. Item 10 is update on Pima Community College-owned historic motels on Drachman. We have either Commissioners Lozano, Scoville, others. Carlos, do you want to report? Or Ken, are you reporting?
Yeah, I'm probably, you know, Carlos attended also. Do you want to talk first, Carlos? Or do you want me to?
No, Ken, you go first.
Okay. Well, it's been an interesting ongoing issue. I don't know if people saw the guest editorial in the newspaper I did. I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago on all the issues and all of this. And I think to a certain extent, the Community College Board, and I was there, they voted for a request for qualifications that they're going to have go out to the development community. And for what I understand nationally, and hopefully it's going to be out at the end of the month and then hopefully for at least 60 days to see who would be interested in doing something with these properties. The negative of this is that we could not get any kind of advocacy for historic preservation other than the standpoint, it'd be nice if you saved the things, but not any real strong teeth or anything or advocacy or incentives with it. But given the political situation at the Pima Community College and all that, I think in reality that's about the best we can hope for right now, and we'll have to see what comes in on the proposals. So, and I think they're aware of all the preservation issues as contributing buildings in the Miracle Mile District, and the irony of the buildings vanished, and the HUD-funded signs and the restoration of the sign of the Tucson Inn, they're announcing parking lots. So it would not be the best situation of this. So we're just waiting to see, and if we can get a little luck going, that we get a developer that's going to want to actually do some good things.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Carlos?
Yeah, I wanted to add, at that board meeting, one of the board members, you know, went out of their way to remind everyone that motion that was passed was completely non-binding. It doesn't require them to do anything. And so we're just hoping and crossing our fingers that developers will do the right thing, because it is attractive from a business standpoint. My question to Ken is the RFQ written, or is your group going to continue to craft the RFQ?
Well, let's just say the attorney for Pima Community College Board is drawing up the document. They've sort of kept control, steep reins on the whole process. As much as I tried to be as vocal as it was allowed, there were times where I sort of got my complimentary plug in my mouth during the meetings. But for the most part, they're running the show, but I think they realize there is a lot of community interest in this.
Okay, great. Because if there is any opportunity to highlight adaptive reuse in the RFQ, I hope that would be good. And then also, as I mentioned at the meeting too, the more widely that can be distributed, the better. Because, you know, we know that there are developers nationwide that love Tucson, and it doesn't have to just be the usual two or three developers here in town, you know.
And I'm hoping that one last comment on this. I'm hoping the Pima Community College Board does get a little bit more with the program, because Herb Stratford, who's doing wonderful restoration on Teatro Carmen, he's had a national motel developer that loves mid-century and that era motels and motor courts. And he tried to see those properties earlier, and the college would not even let him tour the properties. They sent out some pictures. So I'm hoping there's a little more momentum, and Herb Stratford said that this developer is still interested. So we're going to try and champion whatever causes we can along the way. And I would think that because I was on that board, I was on the board that committee that the board established, that we're going to get some communique of what's coming in. And I will certainly bring this back to the commission.
Okay, good. And just remember that the commission has already passed the motion to write a follow-up to our original recommendation, so we can do that at any time.
And it might be we forward that or do that for whatever developer is interested in proceeding.
Yeah. Great. All right.
So my question is it an RFQ, a request for qualifications, or is it an RFI, a statement of interest? Is it a proposal for what you would do with it?
Okay, well, from what I understand, and I think this is the first time Pima Community College has done this. So the last, what they mentioned, it was going to be a request for qualifications, and within that, they wanted to also have them do a proposal.
Yeah, so they don't understand what the difference is, so clearly.
It might be good for Terry, if you wanted to write something, just, or if you've had a lot of experience with that, to just write it to...
What we could do is, Jody, for example, what you guys put out, you put out RFPs, right, for like develop, the city puts them out for developing parcels or develop, doing something with buildings, right? Is Jody still there?
She left.
I would ask Jody about it because you could get some examples that combine the qualifications, but qualifications are part of a proposal usually. You can't have somebody who doesn't know what they're doing say they're going to do historic buildings. You know. So anyway, we can talk more about it.
Right. It needs to be qualified better.
Yeah. Okay. We better move on here. I don't see any hands up. So we'll go on to item 11, update on status of the Solari Chapel at the University of Arizona. Commissioner Erickson, do you have anything?
I do not have an update on that, but once we get past all these immediate things like awards and Plan Tucson, I will get in touch with the university and see if we can get an updated list of historic resources on campus, because I think the problem with the Solari Chapel is that there were a lot of people who didn't even realize it had heritage characteristics. So that's what I have for that.
Yeah, okay, thank you. All right, we'll move on to item 12, TEP, Midtown Reliability Project. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks. I'm going to just do a really quick update and then follow that up with a motion. So just to review, right now, TEP is finalizing their line siting, and undergrounding is supposedly off the table, even though we can continue to recommend that. And also, I think, as Commissioner Haggard may have mentioned, the Undergrounding Coalition did uncover a Phoenix project that was undergrounded that actually is comparable to our situation, even though TEP disputes that. So TPCHC has already written a comment letter on this matter to TEP. So the next step is to wait until the matter is reviewed by the Arizona Corporation Commission in May. And I don't think we should wait until the May meeting because we don't know when that comment period is going to start and end, and what if we don't have a quorum in May or something like that. So I want to make a motion now. I want to move that TPCHC write a comment letter on the TEP Midtown Reliability Project to the Arizona Corporation Commission, CCing TEP, mayor and council, et cetera, recommending undergrounding or another mitigation that is less impactful than the current plan.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. I just want to bring up that originally, when was it this one? Several years ago, where we were able to comment once it was docketed. The case was docketed, and I had to get into the Arizona Corporation Commission website and paste in basically the response. So so right now, what did the motion say, that we'd write a letter?
Yeah. Write a comment to the Arizona Corporation Commission.
Okay. So I think that, when they're ready. So I think that basically it could be taken as sending a letter to them or uploading it to their comment area, correct? Does anyone see? Okay.
We have good contacts there now.
Yeah, okay, so that would be great. Okay, so does everyone understand the motion? Any other comments? If not, Carla, could you do roll call, please?
Yes. Alice Andoggi?
Alice?
I'll call it back right now. Carlos okay. Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwood?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julia Date?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Grady?
Aye.
Karen Wojcicki?
Aye.
Tim Hedyard?
Aye.
You have 13?
Yes, 13-0.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else, Carlos?
No, that's all. Thanks.
And if you have the wording of your motion, if you could send it to me and Carla, that would be terrific.
Yep, can do.
Thank you. All right, item 13 is Plan Tucson update. Jody and or Corin and Commissioner Erickson.
So the final working group meeting will be Tuesday, April 23rd from 1 to 4. It will be another working group for members to review the draft policies and provide feedback and review the draft future growth map. The meeting will be at the TCC. I don't know if Helen had any updates.
Yes, well, a couple of updates here. The first thing is the working group will be meeting this coming Monday. We have done things in two sections. One, we have dealt with policies that are specifically for historic preservation. The other set of work that we have done is how historic preservation interfaces with the policies of all the other sections of Plan Tucson. And what we intend to do at the Monday meeting is finalize our draft. As soon as we have finalized that draft, we would like that distributed to the commission as a whole for input and comments. And then we will meet again on the 24th of April to prepare a final draft for approval at the May meeting. And this, we're very fortunate at this point. I think we have a direct connection with the people who are charged with this outreach part of Plan Tucson. So we will be directing that to them on a person-to-person basis. This working group has included three commissioners, Ricky, Carlos, Alice, four. And me, and we have been working with Jody as well. So I hope that our policies that we have that result from this project will be basically shovel ready by the time we complete this process.
Great. Any questions for Helen or Jody? Okay, thank you both. Item 14 is Pima Prosperous update. Courtney, do you have anything else for us?
No, I don't have anything further to report this month.
Okay.
Thank you.
Item 15 is update and discussion of city-county activities now that city and county have voted to retain a joint commission. I will start out with 15A, the City of Tucson.
Sorry, I was typing an email to you, Terry.
Okay.
So at this point, we're still continuing to work with the county on it. We did have a meeting with Helen and you and Terry and Jan to talk about some potential code updates earlier this week. So we're still kind of plugging along.
Great, thank you. Are there any questions for Jody? All right. 15B is Pima County. Courtney and others?
Yes, I don't have an update over what we reported last month on the county attorneys reviewing where sections of proposed code edits would go in the zoning code. And And so I don't have any other updates on that.
Thank you. Item 16 is update on archaeological site damage at the border. And Commissioner Steer is not here, so there'll be no report on that. Item 17 is Commissioner's summary of current events. Does anyone have any current event they would like to share?
Oh, this is Ricky. I just have an upcoming thing. May 11th is the last event that we'll be holding at the Sosocario House before we close for remodel. So if anyone is interested in coming down for a tour, seeing what the building looks like now, this is like, you're in the last month to do that.
Okay, so it's basically for repairs, restoration, all that?
Yeah, and we will hopefully be submitting to, like, PRS for review, so you'll see the plan. But we're going to redo the back little addition part of the house that got built in 1971. The outside, we'll get a restucco, new HVAC system, new roof, and we'll do some minor landscaping updates in the backyard.
Okay, Ken, this is just information. Do you have a question for Ricky?
Well, no, I just wanted to talk for a minute.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure people know that the El Presidio neighborhood is going to have their first home tour on Sunday, April 28th from 11 to 4. I'm going to be doing three short little talks about the struggles for preservation in El Presidio, sort of to give people a context of what's gone on in the neighborhood. So I think the tickets are $35. Things seem to be going up all the time in price, but should be a really interesting tour for people that have not seen these properties from the inside.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else with a current event coming up? Again, I just want to remind you to please, if you are thinking of nominating a project for one of the preservation awards, if you have questions, don't hesitate to ask me. I think we'll have a nice contingent of awards, and I encourage you all to, well, we'll meet again before the event, but it's, you know, please do put it on your calendar. All right, item 18, call to the audience. Did anyone provide comments in advance by the deadline, Carla?
No, I didn't receive anything.
Okay. Okay, then item 19 is thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone have a thought they want to share? I just wanted to say that the listing of Barrio San Antonio in the National Register is a really nice nod to inclusivity, because as Jody will attest, it's not your traditional district nomination, right, Jody? I mean, it's
correct.
It's a new way of looking at things. It was also neighborhood endorsed, correct?
Correct.
And so it's just a nod to former commissioner, now advisory member of the commission, Jen Levstick, and we should really, and she, and also there's another really tricky nomination for the town of Randolph up near Phoenix. It was listed as a traditional cultural property, sort of for Black history, so which is, it's first in Arizona, isn't it, Jody?
I believe so, yeah. They had a difficult time, but they got listed too, along with Barrio.
Yeah, and it was a tough one. I thought that meeting it was unbelievable, but it's good. So that's some inclusivity news for you. All right, item 20 is schedule and future agenda items for upcoming meetings. Please email me by no later than April 26th, which I believe is Friday, to be considered for the May 8th agenda. And I wanted to ask, Helen, do you want to keep Solari on?
I was wondering if perhaps we need to rename that item.
Yeah, you can send me your thoughts on that.
I think that's the question.
Okay, and clearly we'll keep TEP on, right, for the time being, Carlos?
Yeah, you can, but if you want to save room on the agenda, I would never forget it, and I would address it in my transportation report.
Okay, why don't you let me know what you would like to do, and I will put also on the agenda for next time the preservation conference, right, because I kept forgetting to put it on. Okay. And Ian, if you're still on, is Ian still on? Yeah, Ian, if you want me to keep some sort of curation thing on there or take it off for now, or you let me know what you want to do on that.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so thank you, everyone, and we're off before JJ even has to get off, which is great. Thank you, everyone. It was a very busy meeting within the time frame. So thanks, and Carla, I'll hear from you. Oh, we're adjourned at 1:21, and I will get, I guess, the recording and so forth from you, and you'll let me know the schedule for the LAR, correct? Very good. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Are you guys all here for a class?
Yeah.
For law class.
A law class, Rob?
Yes. Land use.
Land use law.